Good to see each one out this evening.
And we trust that the Lord will bless his word as we look at it together. It's nice to be with you all again. For the last 6 months or so, For the last 6 months or so, I've been doing a little series from a book. It is now about 30 years old, but it's on called Basic Christian Training. And tonight I'd like to speak based on a chapter in that book called An Appointment with God. As believers, I believe one of the most important things to have a healthy Christian life is to spend a portion of our day with the Lord. It's very important, and to do this in an individual way. I would like us to begin tonight by looking at Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We see there the thirst of the soul for God, a longing for him, and a relationship with him that is ongoing. As individual believers, I notice the words here. Many of our hymns are in the plural, which is, I believe, only right when we attempt to worship the Lord together. But I notice the words here. My God, I will seek thee. My soul, my flesh. We need this relationship with the Lord and this important appointment with God. Well, Psalm, you needn't look these up, but you may if you care to, because we're going to move them through them fairly quickly and through the meeting tonight fairly quickly, Lord willing. Sometimes a fellow can get off the track a little bit and go on, but anyway, if we stick with the notes, it won't be too long an evening. Psalm 46, verse 1. We read there that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. The Lord is always there. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I am with thee always. He is always present with us. When we read Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, David says, in the evening, the morning, and at noon will I seek thy face. The evening, the morning, and at noon. And I remember reading, someone telling me, a friend, that when they were working, they found that some of the talk where they were working was a little rough. They used to go to the car and take their New Testament at lunchtime and to spend a little time reading and in prayer. So we see evening, morning, and at noon. And you may remember from the story of Daniel that he also practiced this. Psalms 119, verse 62, at midnight will I rise to give thanks. At midnight. When I was thinking of that, I remember years ago that I used to do a little bit of traveling around with Joe Sherlock. And Joe Sherlock was a consummate night hawk. He'd start to do his study between 11 and 2. It was about his brightest time of the day, which, of course, was the greatest time of the day for me to be asleep. And so he would say that I'd fold my hands, which I have a habit of doing, fold my hands on my breast, and I'd be asleep before he finished his prayers. And then in the morning, and Joe, because he was awake half the night, I would wake up in the morning and I'd sneak into the bathroom in a motel and and lock the door with my Bible and turn the light on. And so that's the way it worked. It's night people, and there's morning people, and there's all kinds of people. But he says, at midnight will I rise and give thee thanks. In Psalm 5 and 3, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. In Psalm 119, verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning. In other words, I rose before the dawning of the morning. Mine eye prevented the night watches, we read also in Psalm 119. In other words, got up during the night, I suppose a sleepless night, that I might meditate in thy word. And we read of the children of Israel that they gathered manna every morning, every morning. When we look at the word of God, where? We see when? Where? In Mark 1, verse 35, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the morning, a great while before day, he arose and went to a solitary place and prayed. I'm thinking of those words, a solitary place, somewhere where you can be alone with the Lord. It's a hard thing to do if you're a young family sometimes, but it is an important thing. In Matthew 14, verse 23, he went to a mountain apart to pray alone, to try to be alone in a solitary place. He found such a place to pray. When I'm talking about an appointment with God, believe that is what we're talking about, is to read the scripture and to pray. When we read the scripture, we are hearing the voice of God. It is the voice of God. And when we pray, we are speaking to the Lord. What is our purpose? To seek Him. To seek Him. It's not to finish up a book or a Bible study or prepare, although sometimes the brethren, if they have responsibilities and they're working full-time in the world, they have to do what they have to do. But really, we ought to be looking to the Lord. I will not let thee go, Jacob said, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go. To seek the face of God. This is very important. We need to be listening for His voice as we read the scriptures. We don't read the scriptures the way that we'd read a good novel or the newspaper. The Bible says, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ once again, Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Every word is God-breathed in all of the scripture we read. How vital that is. In Psalm 119, I see here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times we see the word meditate. How vital that is that believers meditate in the Word of God. Now, if you practice yoga, you're opening your mind, trying to get rid of all your thoughts so that some demon will move in. I believe it's the way that works out. But that is not a very, very healthy thing for a believer to do. But to meditate for a believer is of the Word of God. It is something, it is not to empty your minds, but it is to fill your heart and your mind with the Word of God, to look at it carefully. I read this, and meditate in thy precepts, in thy ways, in thy word, in thy statutes, in thy testimonies. I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. It's very important for us to meditate on the Word of God. When we speak of a quiet time, I believe that that is what the Lord is speaking about when we spend time to meditate in the Word of God. When we're thinking of the scripture too, what does the passage really say to the person it was written to? What does it say? What does it mean? How do I apply it to my life in 2011? What about the meaning of difficult words? I remember my Uncle Stewart, even if he read the newspaper, Very often he'd have the dictionary there. It was his practice to understand words. And we know that oftentimes in the scripture and anything else we want to do, we may have to look up a word here or there. And the purpose of all this, as we read in Romans 8, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. As we listen to the Word of God, we get to know his Son better, and as we look upon him, the Bible says, we're changed into his image as from glory to glory. That is a wonderful, life-changing experience to read the Word of God. I mentioned four things, briefly, that happen when we read the Scriptures daily. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Christian growth is not fast growth, necessarily, although if you take a child, you live with that child every day, you don't notice how it's growing. Somebody who comes over and maybe you see them after 6 months, they say, my, how you've grown. But it's a very slow process if you take it day by day. But nonetheless, as we desire the sincere milk of the Word, we grow thereby. And I would place before you today that you do not grow in any other way. There's no shortcut to Christian growth. A person cannot really say, in a sense, oh, well, I wasn't growing, so I stopped this or stopped that. But we grow, and I may not even be aware of it, but that is the secret of Christian growth. And in Hebrews 5, verse 14, it talks of the meat of the Word. And by reason of use, that means repetitively, as we read the Bible over and over, day by day, then we have our senses exercised for good and evil, to discern good and evil. How important it is to use the Word of God every day, because that is how we grow. It is our Christian exercise. And growth is what we want. Stagnation is not good, but there's no real fast track on growth. It is a daily walk with the Lord that provides us with growth. Part of that is the Word of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, we see the second thing, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By the Word of God. There is a cleansing of the Word when we are into the Word of God every day. We may not realize it every day, but it is there. This is something that happens day by day. And the believer will grow and grow and grow, and they will be cleansed. His life will change. Some of those old habits will fall away. These things happen as we grow. There is a cleansing in the Word of God. My friends, we need that every day. We need that daily cleansing before the Lord. In Psalm 73, verse 24, thou wilt guide me with thy counsel. The counsel of God is his word. And afterwards thou wilt receive me into glory. What a wonderful verse. But the guidance of the Lord and the counsel of the Lord. He will lead and direct our lives as we are into his word day by day, day by day. An appointment with God is important for the guidance of the Lord. How vital it is to spend time with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 is a fourth thing, and that speaks of spiritual conflict with Satan. And we notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness, he said, it is written. He knew the Word of God. It had become second nature to him. And when we read the Scripture day by day, this is what happens. It becomes second nature. Very often we know Scriptures that will actually come to our mind and our hearts in time of difficulty. I also think of that when it's a spiritual conflict. The Bible speaks of standing in an evil day. But also when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, for believers to move ahead in an offense, when I'm talking of offense, I'm not speaking of stumbling, but rather if you've got a hockey team, you've got the wingers and the center, their offense, the defensemen are defense, and the offense are those that are moving towards the net and looking for the goal. They're moving ahead. And I believe to move ahead in this battle with Satan and in spiritual conflict, it is only by the Word of God. We either go one way or the other. We're either losing ground or gaining ground. And we can lose ground. And the Scripture says we can stand in the evil day. But you know, sometimes we don't even want just to stand. We want to move ahead. We want to grow. We want to make advancement. How does that happen? It happens with the Word of God. Daily reading of the Word of God. One man, actually the man that wrote this, he was speaking, and I believe it is right, that we truly need that word if we are going to move ahead in our Christian life. The Bible teaches that the Lord is ready to show us things in His Word if we're ready to obey those words. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you will do the works, or do His commandments, then you shall know the doctrine. Then you will know the doctrine. You'll know the teaching if you're willing to obey. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thine eyes. If we open our eyes, we're really searching for the Word of God, then He's going to show us wonderful things from His holy Word. This is a principle of Scripture that is very important. Sometimes we do not understand Scripture, and part of it is because we are young as believers, and we grow, and we always can gain. But also, if we do not wish to be obedient to what we already know, then the Lord does not continue the process of teaching us. There needs to be an openness to the Word of God, ready to obey, the way to start our time with the Lord. Open mine eyes. Open mine eyes. Open mine ears, Lord. Teach me to listen. Well, we have the Word of God, a daily time with the Word of God. And the writer also mentioned this. He said, you know, there are those of us that the Word of God, we tend to be good readers. We tend to be not necessarily education, an aptitude for reading and writing and so on. And there's people that are more hands-on. He spoke about that. He said, you know, we need to at least set aside. His recommendation was 20 minutes a day. If you do not normally read the Scriptures and pray, it's something you should do. He said, don't try to read 10 chapters the first day either, but to start with a small passage of Scripture, to ask the Lord to open your heart to it, to meditate upon it, to read it, and to pray. This is to him about 20 minutes. I know myself that a few years ago I went walking, and you can ask Mark about this. I would walk, start off walking down the hill and back, and then I'd start walking on the trail. And but I'm all or nothing. That's my way of doing things. And so the next thing, I was walking, and on Saturdays I'd take 4 hours to go for a walk. She wouldn't know where I was. I'd be simply walking the trail, which of course you could walk to Elmira from Montague if you want to. But sometimes if we take on too big a change, what happens is we're just like a balloon. You blow up the balloon in a bus, and you'd end up doing nothing. It's very more important to read a shorter passage, at least in beginning, than to go for all this time and then end up without... You know, it's just too much for me. I can't do that. And of course you can't. You can't. So how important it is to start off in the Word of God. Start somewhere. As a believer, this is not something you might like to do, or some believers do. This is something that every believer needs to do. I was reading lately the Miller's church history, and he was talking about this. He said, you know, it's only the last 400 or 500 years that the believers were allowed to have Bibles, and that, let alone the unsaved, were allowed to have Bibles in English-speaking lands, believe it or not. And he said, how wonderful it is when these men would have the Bible in their own hands so they could read it and they could pray. He said, the old dark ages just couldn't stand against the Word of God. Anyone that wants to keep you from growing has to keep you away from the Word. And there's lots of things today to keep believers that have got a dozen Bibles in their home away from the Word. But nonetheless, we have the Word, and we need to be ready to obey what it says, and we need to be into the Word. I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. We speak to the Lord in prayer. This is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. Probably be better noted as the disciples' prayer. They asked him to teach us to pray. And we read in verse 9, he said, after this manner pray. In other words, it's not a rote prayer, but it is a manner of praying. It is showing us the various aspects of prayer. We notice the first aspect that's mentioned here is worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to spend a little time in worship. Praying is not only just asking for things or praying for people, but to worship the Lord, to recognize who he is. And as we read the scriptures, very often it will show us something of the person of the Lord. And a little book that I was reading, a novel lately, someone mentioned that this was the perfect prayer. What was the perfect prayer? Four little words there: thy will be done. In prayer, to seek the will of God. How vital that is, to be ready to let his will be done. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but we can place ourselves under the will of God. The third thing here that's mentioned is our daily bread in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Our needs. This is called supplications. Things that we need from the Lord from day to day. Whether it is physical needs, financial needs, or family needs. In all things, it says in Philippians chapter 4, to pray. And then it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to have a time of confession. Maybe I don't want to try to correct that, I guess. Some would say that it is probably good to have confession at the first and cleanse your heart before the Lord. But anyway, whatever, that is one aspect of prayer, forgiveness, as we forgive others. And another important part of prayer. And finally, guidance and protection, or leading and deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And how we need every day to ask the Lord for safety, safety on the road, safety and deliverance from temptations and so on, and the leading of the Lord day by day. These are all vital parts of prayer. He mentioned a system. He said it wasn't his system, and it's not my system. But anyway, he mentions one there I thought was very good. It just goes with the first letter of the days of the week. On Monday, pray for missionaries, foreign missionaries. On Tuesday, thanksgiving and answers to prayer. Remember to thank him specifically on Wednesdays. Workers, home workers, those that are serving the Lord and are not on foreign missions. And I would say this as well, those that are serving the Lord and you know the load that they are taking in the meeting, it's very important to pray for those. On Thursday, your own tasks and your own ministry, your job and so on, your family, not the family has its own place in this list, but to your job and your tasks and your ministry. On Friday is a family, F, or family. On Saturday, the saints and their special needs that you know about, to pray for the believers. And on Sunday, to pray for sinners, to pray for men and women to be saved. And once again, I'd say this is not an only system or something, but believers need to have an idea, especially if you only if you're going to be taking part of it out of your day. You know you're going to have to spend time at work. You know you're going to have to spend time with your family in the evening. Whenever you redeem that time to spend with the Lord, it's good to have an idea of how you're going to tackle it. Anybody that's trying to build a little baby barn or whatever they're going to do, they have to have some idea what they're going to do before they start. What are the key texts, perhaps, besides one we looked at in Psalms, is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'm sure most people here know this off by heart. Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, as we walk through this world, we don't always understand God's ways. We sometimes wonder, Lord, why would this happen to me? Or why does this happen to them? Or why did that happen overseas, over there? Or we don't understand. But the Bible says if we had all understanding, it is not as important as having the peace of God. And the peace of God is achieved, the scripture says here, I think you would have to agree, through prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. If you had understand everything, that's not something you and I are ever going to do in this world. But if we could, we would not be as far ahead as we bring all the things to the Lord in prayer, trusting him with thanksgiving, then there is the peace of God. In other words, there's nothing that can happen to me today that the Lord and I cannot handle together. It shall keep your hearts and minds. It'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how vital prayer is. What are the hindrances to this? Well, there's three that are mentioned. There's probably many hindrances to prayer and growth, Christian growth and Christian cleansing and all of these things that come by the word of God in prayer. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. There was a woman once. She loved to listen to tapes and she loved to read Christian books. Her husband was a farmer. He'd be out in the field and come in and no dinner on the table because she'd say, my dear, I was listening to a tape. Well, that's probably not a very good way to live your life. There needs to be, we need to honor and be workers to work each day. But it's amazing, though, how some people can be such tremendous workers in every way except one. They work hard when they're at work. They take great responsibility for their family. They're looking to the future and insurance and putting away money, and they're thinking and they're going ahead in every way. But they have one area of complete sloth, which is laziness. And that is in the Word of God and prayer. And we may as well face it. That's what it is. And in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, we read these words. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? And when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more unhappy than a believer that's not getting his daily food. As you imagine, if you weren't eating every day, how you'd feel. But scripturally speaking, and really the only one thing that often can be attributed to it is laziness. And the Bible says, go to the ant, thy sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. She provided her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Sin. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I love sin, I'm not going to love the Word of God. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so how vital it is to deal with sin. If I love sin, chances are I'm not going to love God's Word, and I'm not going to love prayer either. And so sin is something that will keep us away from the Lord. I know over the years, we give our children Bibles. Over the years, sometimes they would disappear at camp, or they'd disappear somewhere, and so there'd be new Bibles. But I remember a little saying my wife always wrote inside the Bible, and she'd say, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Either one or the other. It is an important principle, really. Sin will keep us from the book, or the book will keep us from sin. It is a tremendous hindrance. And then we remember the story of Mary and Martha, the idea of being too busy. In Luke 10, verse 41, Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and spending time listening to the Word. And Martha said, I'm really busy here. Can you not tell her to come and help me? And the Lord Jesus repeated, he said, Martha, Martha, he said, you just got too much on your mind. He said, Mary has chosen the best thing. This shall not be taken from her. It is very important. Busyness can be, by the way, we know the Bible says we should not deal with a slack hand and all of these things, but at the same time, we can be too busy to spend time with God. And so we could be too busy. We could be spiritually lazy. Or sin, another thing that I think of just off the top of my head, the Bible says to a husband's honor your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. Hindered prayer comes if we do not treat our mate right. And one form of abuse or another. And so we think of these things as we look at the Word of God. Really, these are vital things. I might just mention, as people get older, sometimes there's things they can do, sometimes there's things they can't do. But I know one lady. She spends 3 or 4 hours a day in the Word of God. She has a debilitating disease, and she's not any longer, she's not much older than I am, but she's not any longer able to work. But what she does in her time is to read the Word of God. I'm not trying to away, taken away from the one that we're trying to get 20 minutes in, but this is something that as we get older, as we get so that we can no longer do the things that we used to do, sort of thing, how important it is to spend time with the Lord. I remember Brother Joe Sherlock said used to tell me, and perhaps he never really gave me the right to either share it with you or not share it with you, but I think it is important enough for me to mention. He said that he would pray for 7 hours, could no longer read the Word of God, could no longer concentrate, but it was one thing that he could do as he got older. I would think of those of us, we need to make adjustments in our lives that we can no longer do the things that we used to do. Maybe we could do, really be a help in the way of the things that we can do. A man who spent a busy life, Mr. Milton Poole, used to also spend when he had a heart condition. He could no longer, he worked until he was in his 70s, doing welding and all kinds of things, but the time came he could not, and he began to spend 5-6 hours a day in the Word of God. It was something he could do. I remember, too, being part of 2 funerals, and one was Myrtle Babineau's and the other was her sister's. Both homes, they would talk about, they stayed with family before they passed away. And the night they would hear them on their knees, and they would be praying. And of course, they were both deaf as opposed, so they wouldn't know how loud they were praying. But they said they would be praying every night. They're in their 90s. Well, I know another lady. She was speaking to me. She had a bunch of young children. She used to say the only time she would have time to read or seem to have time was in the bathroom. The time to read the Word of God and time to pray. You know, it's these things are very vital. And you know what I find about people? I've heard of another lady that her husband was telling me. That I don't know of anybody that ever told me about their prayer life. Well, I know some, but anyway, I don't know anyone that really has shared with me. Usually someone else spills the beans. I don't know if that means you lose your reward or not. I don't think so. Can't do much about that. But a lady, he said that his wife got up at 5 o'clock every morning and prayed for an hour before the day started. Now, this is not back in the 1800s or the way they used to be years ago before we all caught on to modern Christianity with the rock music and all kinds of things. This is today. There are believers that are still doing this today. There are still believers that are still in the Word of God and prayer, and it has to be. It has to be for Christian growth, for Christian cleansing, from all of these things. This is where growth is at. This never changed. It never will change. Never will. And if it changes, or if someone tells you it changes, just set his words aside. This is the very words of Satan. It is the very words of Satan. Would like for us to sing a hymn, and then we'll close in prayer. I think I see a hymn book. Number 342. Number 342. Just notice some of the words of this hymn. Verse 1, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide with him always. Feed on his word. Take time to be holy. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. And just on and on. Take those time and make that appointment. If it's early or if it's late or if it's a few minutes, 3 times a day. 342. Let's stand and sing. Take time to be holy. We thank you for this evening. We thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast made thyself known, that all of the scripture is God-breathed. We thank thee, Father, that through the word of God, we can know thee, whom to know is eternal life, and thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. We thank thee, Father, for thy kindness. We thank thee for each one that has come out tonight to hear the word of God. We pray that you would bless them in their lives. We pray, Father, that we would have a relationship with thee. We know it is not religious rote, but rather it is a relationship, a warm relationship. We thank thee, Father, for the Lord Jesus that has loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for his wonderful example of those first things that are so vital, even in the busiest of life. We pray, Father, that we may not make the mistake of thinking that we are busier than others or too busy, but, Lord, that we would be obedient in these things. We just ask thee, Lord, that you would be with each one of us then. We pray that we would be willing and ready to do what you would show us or tell us to do. We pray too that we would enjoy even the moment. There are those of us that do not retain as we used to retain the truth of the word of God, but we can enjoy it while we are reading, and it can still work in our lives, although we may sometimes forget the things. Lord, you are working with us. You are not working with zombies or computers.
you are working in the souls of men, and those that would bow to thee have a wonderful life ahead of them, and a life in which they can look back as they have come to thee by day and say, it is a wonderful thing and it is a wonderful path to have walked a lifetime, one day at a time, in the will of God. We just ask thee to be with each one then, in Jesus' name, amen.